Today being the very, very auspicious appearance day of our founder Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So I won't read the usual Bhagavatam verse. I'll read a verse from Canto 1. Get my notes out. Did everyone have a good Janmashtami?
Yeah.
So, Canto 1, Chapter 13, text number 10, I'll read. So, let's go find it. And stuff, it's kind of like I'd feel incomplete without that. So, it goes, read the Sanskrit. Vavad vidha bhagavatas tita puta swayam vipo titi kurvanti titani svanta stena gada vita. So, this is a verse spoken by Vidura. By King Yudhisthira to Vidura. When Vidura returns from pilgrimage around different holy places, and he comes back to the house of Yudhisthira Maharaj, and Yudhisthira Maharaj says to him as follows, translation: My lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I mean, we can do the translation responsibly. My Lord, devotees like your good self,
are verily holy places personified.
Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by His diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by His unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Yamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadev heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadev Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. Verse again. Om gyan timirandasya gyan jana shalakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurve namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam zati svaparantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavam stha shri rupam sagujatam sagna raghunatham vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pranam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamstha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gauranki Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishavanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakaupa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevicha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That verse again. Bhagavidha bhagavatas tirtha bhuta svayam vibho tirti kuvanti tirtani svantasdena gadabhita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Can I get a Chaitanya CC Adi? First part of Adi Lila, yeah. So I was a bit surprised to be put on the roster for today, of all days. what to do? Can only say that thank goodness for the lectures of our spiritual masters, who we can get some inspiration for. So, as we know, yesterday was the very auspicious appearance day of Lord Sri Krishna, Janmashtami. And today is the appearance day of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna's great devotee, and also the festival of Nandotsava, the festival that Nanda Maharaj had the day after that Krishna was born, distributing cows in charity and to the Brahmins, etc. So it's some devotees have described previously that many people, of course thousands of people, come for the weekend festival of Janmashtami. And today is very, very special. In many respects, more special than Sri Krishna Janmashtami, because actually this, whole festivities. Oh, it's not there. All these festivities and so on were brought to us by Srila Prabhupada. So, of course, you know, in the West, no one really knew about Krishna before Srila Prabhupada. But in India, everyone apparently knows about Krishna, and there's many big. It's probably, I guess, the biggest one of at least one of the biggest festivals in India. And it's very nice that festivals in India are actually, you know, in the true spirit of the term of festival, that they're generally a religious-based festival and occasion. But then the thing is that the real depth of understanding of who Krishna is not available unless we have the presence of the pure devotee, and through their teaching and instructions, we gain that full understanding of who Krishna is. So people know who Krishna is in India, but they lack that full understanding. So that's what the pure devotee, representative of Krishna, who's directly empowered by Krishna and sent here on a mission, they give us that understanding. And therefore, it's a very important day to acknowledge these gifts that we've been given by Srila Prabhupada, the gift of the process of devotional service, the association of devotees, thank you for International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and you know, prasadam, and so many gifts that Srila Prabhupada brought to us, and we see in his pastimes that to deliver these gifts, and Srila Prabhupada went to great lengths, and tolerated so many impediments, just for out of compassion to deliver these gifts of Krishna consciousness to materialistic people who are just suffering and going about life in a wrong direction. As we in ISKCON, as we hear, Srila Prabhupada has a very unique position in our society, and that position, you know, the term unique, describing that there's no one else has that same stature and position as Srila Prabhupada. So therefore he's the Siksha Guru for everyone in ISKCON. It's very important that we all first of all establish a relationship with Srila Prabhupada through, you know, primarily through his books, and then after establishing a relationship with Srila Prabhupada and his followers who are presenting Krishna consciousness as he did, then we need to also, you know, maintain our relationship with him and further develop it. So just as in any relationship, there needs to be that, you know, establishing and maintaining and further progressing our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So through service and understanding his mood and mission through his books. So this is a very important aspect of our Krishna consciousness, to understand very clearly the unique position of Srila Prabhupada. And we celebrate his Vyasa Puja, not just because, not only his direct disciples, you know, because he was their spiritual master, but it goes beyond that, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, because we all have our different spiritual masters, and we celebrate their Vyasa Puja, you know, because they're our connection to Prabhupada and to Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual master of everyone in ISKCON, and he's in a very unique and exalted position. So there's Prabhupada kind of talks about this in Hari Leela chapter 1. So there's a lot about spiritual masters in this first chapter of the Hari Leela. And specifically text number 47. So we'll try to read the Bengali. Siksha Guru Keta Jani Krishna Sarupa Antrayami Bhakta Shrestha Edu Rupa. Translation. One should know the instructing spiritual master to be the personality of Krishna. Lord Krishna manifests himself as the super soul and as the greatest devotee of the Lord. So I'll read just the first paragraph of this purport. Prabhupada writes, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that the instructing spiritual master is a bona fide representative of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna himself teaches us as the instructing spiritual master from within and without. From within he teaches as Paramatma, our constant companion, and from without he teaches from Bhagavad Gita as the instructing spiritual master. So the significant part that I wanted to focus on is in this next section, sentence. There are two kinds of instructing spiritual masters. One is a liberated person fully absorbed in meditation in devotional service, and the other is he who invokes the disciples through to consciousness by means of relevant instructions. Thus, the instructions in the science of devotion are differentiated in terms of the objective and subjective ways of understanding. The acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So here Prabhupada is making a distinction between objective and subjective ways of understanding in terms of spiritual masters and spiritual instruction. So objective means, objective understanding means that there's no you know, contamination or misunderstanding. The devotee clearly understands what Krishna wants. And subjective understanding means there's some, still we need some purification. And so in all circumstances, the devotee who's giving instructions may not fully know what Krishna is wanting for their, for that person. So the objective understanding, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that basically that seeing everyone as a servant of Krishna, not only theoretically but practically. So he says in Gita that, O chief of the Bharatas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and the non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. So this is the vision of the objective vision of the pure devotees, that they see only spirit souls in different material bodies, and that they're all servants of Krishna. So, but we have different, you know, dresses, as Krishna says in chapter 2, that we change our dresses, the soul, the living entity changes dresses, and when one set of dress becomes old and useless, then we again accept it, we remove those that dress and accept a new covering dress. So, but the person remains the same. So we can understand that today someone is wearing, you know, a red jumper, and tomorrow they're wearing a blue jumper, but it doesn't mean that the person has changes. It's still the same person, they've just changed their dress. So in the same way, the spirit soul is encased in different dresses and constantly changing these dresses over many lifetimes, but the spirit soul remains the same in same spiritual identity and as servant of Krishna. So this is the objective vision of the, as it's said here in this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakta Shrestha, the best devotee. So their vision is objective, and other devotees, devotional service is a, it's not a black and white. We know that there's a process of devotional service, as Rupa Goswami explains, going from Shraddha to Prema. So Shraddha, we have some faith in Krishna, in devotional service. So we associate with devotees and learn the process of devotional service, and start practicing the different items of devotional service. Through this practice, we purify ourselves of all the various anattas in our heart, and attain to some taste, some, and further some attachment to Krishna, and then the next stage is bhava, when a devotee arouses their transcendental feelings and spiritual identity towards Krishna. And then it's described in Nectar of Devotion that the at the stage of bhava, this is just one ray in the sunlight of prema. So if we multiply the stage of bhava many, many millions of times, then a devotee is at the stage of full Krishna consciousness, or prema. So therefore it's a very, it's not an easy thing to, you know, label someone a pure devotee. It's actually a very, very, you know, extremely advanced stage. So so then everyone's going through this progression, says, somewhere along this state, in this stages of progression. And the devotees who, you know, their vision is not fully objective, then if their vision is somewhat subjective, then they can still give proper instructions to devotees by following in, taking shelter of the acharya, the devotee who has objective vision. So the pure devotee, they love everyone just as much as they love Krishna. So also they, you know, it's not possible just to, you know, wish that there was a pure devotee present. But actually we see in the examples of our acharyas that pure devotees are actually prayed for, and that they're sent by Krishna. For example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying for some assistance in his preaching mission. He was the pioneer of Krishna consciousness, who revived the credibility of Vaishnavism. And he prayed for some assistance, and therefore, because Krishna is Bhaktivatsala, the friend of his devotees, he's he's subjected to the desires of his pure devotees. So therefore he reciprocated with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and sent Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And in the same way, just like Advaita Acharya was praying for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So a pure devotee is appears because they're prayed for by another pure devotee. And Krishna reciprocates. So so when we see the practical manifestation of this objective vision and the pure devotee's presence, as we're reading in this verse, that they are verily holy places of pilgrimage. So we, my spiritual master was describing how when Srila Prabhupada came to Boston Temple on a visit in 1969, then at the airport when they went to pick him up, then devotees could see like he was practically floating down the escalator. And similarly, when they were at the temple, Boston Temple, and Prabhupada was going up to his quarters on a second floor, then Guru Maharaj was explaining that the whole atmosphere became like Vaikuntha. And not only himself, but devotees he spoke to could feel this transcendental energy when, it's just not an atmosphere that's present in the material world, this higher state of consciousness. So just like Mother Devaki in during the appearance of Krishna, that first of all Krishna appeared in the mind of Vasudeva, then was transferred to the mind of Devaki and then to her womb. So as the full moon appears on the eastern horizon, so Kamsa could see that Devaki was very effulgent, and because she was actually carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the same way Srila Prabhupada was actually carrying Krishna within his heart. Of course, we're all carrying Krishna in our heart, but the pure devotee is—they are actually able to manifest the presence of Krishna wherever they go. And therefore, it's described that they are holy places personified, and that they can bring that atmosphere of Krishna wherever they go. Also, of course, now that Srila Prabhupada is not in our presence, but still, of course, we see that after his disappearance, then the preaching, slowed down somewhat, because when there's a pure devotee on present and they wherever they travel, they're bringing Krishna. Because people before Prabhupada or around Prabhupada's time, they were, talking about Krishna, but no one really took up Krishna consciousness. But because of this special potency of Srila Prabhupada, then he was able to establish a worldwide movement just by everywhere he went, bringing the presence of Krishna. And so therefore this is a very key point in our propagating the movement today, that we need to be taking shelter of the Acharya Srila Prabhupada and manifesting his presence in today's time. So just as the deities manifest personally, we don't consider that Guru Nitai or Radha Balava or Jagannath Balesh Prabhu, we don't consider that they're material elements of brass or marble or wood. So we actually understand that they're personally present. And similarly, the Murti of Srila Prabhupada is personally present. So if we're acting this consciousness and take shelter of the Acharya, then we see that this presence of this same atmosphere, this same spiritual atmosphere of having Krishna personally present, it can still become manifest. And by following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada very carefully, understanding them and following them very carefully, and following the process of devotional service just as he wanted, then we see the wonderful effects. I'm just thinking of yesterday's morning kirtan with, you know, Bhakta Prabhu, and you know, that was a very, very spiritual atmosphere. When Bhakta was leading, and you could just feel that, you know, Krishna was very pleased with all of the devotees, and because of this, then all the devotees were very, very pleased in the kirtan, and you know, you just feel that. Also, it happens on Harinam that there's just no envy. This is one symptom that I notice sometimes, that all the contaminations in our heart can, in an atmosphere like that, they're just pretty much wiped out. You just feel like a very, you know, it's a very surcharged atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere, and we don't feel envy toward anyone. We feel very loving toward everyone, all of the devotees. And so this is the effect of following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, that we can also replicate that same spiritual atmosphere that Srila Prabhupada brought in his personal presence. Some other features of the pure devotee are also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, a very well-known verse in chapter 25, text 21. So, I think it's Lord Kapiladeva speaking. It says, Titikshava Karunika Surudasa Videhinam Ajatas Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. So the symptoms of the sadhu, or pure devotee, that he is tolerant. So I was hearing some pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, that when he went to the West and opened a centre in New York, 22nd Avenue, that you know, when devotees first come, we're trying to teach them about the holy name and chanting and prasadam and so many different things like that. But in one sense, that's quite elevated. And when Prabhupada first opened this centre, he was teaching the devotees that they should take a shower every day. And they were quite, you know, living in quite a, you know, degraded by hippies, and they left their homes and living very unregulated lifestyles. So he taught them, you know, you should wash every day. And then, so he's very tolerant. When there were, you know, there were a few devotees living in that centre on 2nd Avenue, and in the morning they had to line up for the showers. And Srila Prabhupada also lined up for the shower. He wasn't at the front of the queue. He just patiently waited with the other, you know, hippies in for the shower. So very, very tolerant. And then also in that, before he had that place on 22nd Avenue, that he was living on the Bowery, a very, you know, rougher area of New York. And He had to ask the drunkards lying on the front steps to just kind of move a bit so he could get into the apartment building. And so the drunkards were quite respectful and, you know, moved for Srila Prabhupada, so to their fortune. So the devotee is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So I was hearing a Prabhupada lecture where he's describing how the devotee is more merciful than Krishna. This is a very interesting point, and hard to, you know, can think, how can anyone be more merciful than Krishna? And because Prabhupada was explaining that Krishna will only speak to the devotees. We see in Bhagavad Gita that he spoke to Arjuna, who was a great friend and devotee of Krishna. So Krishna only speaks to such people, and he expects surrender first. He wants someone to surrender before he will accept them. But Prabhupada was explaining that devotees are so merciful that they see that, oh, these people are, you know, kind of, you know, without Krishna's, without God's mercy, God has not rejected them, but anyway, the devotee thinks that, let me somehow try to deliver them. So this is the great mercy of the devotee. So this is the very unique position of Srila Prabhupada, that he was able to, this is a very unique symptom, that he was able to personally manifest the presence of Krishna. Therefore we need to take shelter of the instructions of the Acharya and apply them more and more in our life. And also, currently we're also celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Srila Prabhupada boarding the Jaladuta, which he and sailed to America. So the Jaladuta was a cargo ship. So it was a very significant journey, because before this journey, Krishna consciousness and the Vedic scriptures were just inside India, and you know, practically the whole world is just was, you know, living very materialistically, and still is. But this treasure house of Vedic wisdom was just inside India and in the Sanskrit texts. And before his journey, Srila Prabhupada did so much work unlocking that secrets of Sanskrit by translating Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And he, you know, left his family relations just to fully dedicate his life to preaching the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He was staying in India for several years, translating and travelling back and forth between Vrindavan and Delhi, getting his own books published and buying the paper and taking it to the printing press. And one of those times in Delhi, he got gored by a bull, which is, I can't imagine how, if you've been to the farm and, you know, the cows are there and, you know, they're big animals, so I'm not, you know, pretty much like a city person, so big animals are a bit intimidating for me. So even just a cow doesn't really have such big horns like a bull, but it's quite like, I don't really like to get close to them. I know they're friendly, but and I see so many nice photos of devotees like caressing the cow and everything, and I'm like, you know, I haven't kind of got there yet with the cows. Need to establish some relationship. So anyway, a bull is even bigger than a cow, and it has big horns, and somehow Prabhupada got gored by a bull in his leg. But he tolerated all such incidents just to execute the order of his spiritual master to preach in the Western countries. So then, even getting on the boat, there was many obstacles. The owner of the steamship company, Skindia, Sumati Maharaji, she didn't want to give Prabhupada a ticket because she thought he's such, you know, he's just an old man, he's an old sadhu, and he might die on the journey, he might pass away. And so I don't want that on my consciousness. But somehow or other Prabhupada convinced her, and convinced her to give him a ticket, and then so he was able to depart on the Jaladuta. And so there's actually the diary of Srila Prabhupada when he was on the Jaladuta has been published, and so I've printed out a few of the pages just from the actual journey itself, like leading in the months leading up to the journey. He also wrote some entries, but they're mostly like, you know, I saw this person today, and you know, they bought some copies of Bhagavatam, and I spent this much money, and so on. So, but the journey itself, he departed for America on Tuesday, the 12th of August, 1965. So he was in a first class compartment, and he says that thanks to Lord Shri Krishna for his enlightening Srimati Sumati Maharaji for all these arrangements. He says, I am quite comfortable. And in the initial phases of the journey, then before they got to the Bay of Bengal, it was quite smooth. They weren't out in the rough sea yet. And throughout the whole of this these diary entries, we see that Prabhupada had a lot of sickness. Just on the second day, on the 14th, he says there was vomiting tendency and dizziness, and I felt uncomfortable the whole day and night. The sea was foamy all through. It appeared like a big place of water extending to 40 square miles, but factually it was endless. So today, it is a vivid example of God's Maya, because it appears like something, but factually it is not. So he's saying that, you know, that the ocean was like Maya because it appeared to be just, you know, so many square miles of water, but actually it was endless. So its true appearance was not there, which is Maya. So for many days he was experiencing dizziness and he wasn't eating properly. Maybe I'll pick out some of the days to read. So they're passing down out of Bay of Bengal and down the east coast of India, down past Colombo. He says Colombo here, which is the Sri Lankan port capital, I believe. Yeah. And actually he celebrated Janmashtami on the boat on the 20th of August 1965. So he says that today on the 20th of August the captain arranged for a meeting on board the Jaladuta on account of Janmashtami day, and I spoke for an hour on the philosophy and teachings of Lord Sri Krishna. All the officers attended the meeting and there was distribution of prasadam. So that was in the Arabian Sea, where they were stuck for a few days. So the whole journey of the Jaladutta was more than a month, about 35 or 38 days. On the 24th of August, he started on about the 12th of August, he started. So, about 2 weeks later, on Tuesday the 24th, he says, today at 1:30 p.m., I inquired from the wheel room that we have come only 400 miles off the Indian coast. My seasickness is still continuing. I take my meals once only, but today I could not take my full meals also, although I was fasting yesterday. I am feeling uncomfortable. And it was described in the introduction to this diary that the following days from on 25th Wednesday, he only wrote one sentence. And then 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th of August, there's no diary entry. And then on the 31st, Tuesday, Prabhupada writes, passed over a great crisis on the struggle for life and death. A separate statement has to be written on this crisis area. So it was later... He later explained to his followers in America that at that time he experienced a heart attack. So he couldn't write in his diary. I'm not sure what medical help he had during that time when he had a heart attack on the Jaladutta, but. Also very, excruciating incident to have occurred. So then and then it gets into September and they get to around about Egypt, is that? Suez Canal. End of the first week of September, then he gets into the Atlantic, and we heard that comment by the captain of the Jaladutta that it was the smoothest ocean crossing of the Atlantic that they ever had, that he'd ever experienced. He'd been a captain of a ship for many years. There's some nice entries here on 9th of August. Till 4 o'clock afternoon, we have crossed over the Atlantic Ocean for 24 hours. The whole day was clear and almost smooth. I'm taking my food regularly and got some strength to struggle. There is slight lurching of the ship and I'm feeling slight headache also. But I am struggling and the nectarine of life is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the source of my all vitality. Prabhupada also commented to his followers that during this ocean journey, the Chaitanya Charitamrita was his life and sustenance. And there's a nice entry on the Friday, the 10th of September, 1965. Today the ship is flying very smoothly. I feel today better. But I'm feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my lords Sri Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damodar. The only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I am tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I have left Bharat Bhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I have taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His Divine Grace. I depend fully on their mercy so far away from Vrindavan. So this is a very nice entry to see the mood of Srila Prabhupada, that his dependence on Krishna and Guru, just to execute the order of his Guru, and also taking shelter of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Oh, and he mentions the next day that the Atlantic Ocean is more kind to me than all other seas so far we have crossed over. It is all Lord Krishna's grace. Oh, and on the 13th of August, he describes that the captain tells that they had never such calmness of the Atlantic. I said it is Lord Krishna's mercy. His wife asked me to come back again with them so that they may have again a calm Atlantic Ocean. If Atlantic would have shown its usual face, perhaps I would have died. But Lord Krishna has taken charge of the ship. And during that incident when Prabhupada had the heart attack, he later related a pastime where at night time he had a dream. And Lord Krishna appeared in the dream and all of the incarnations, and they were in a boat, like rowing a boat. And that boat was pulling the Jaladuta. So Krishna, with all of his incarnations, was taking charge of the ship, as he says here. And Krishna said to Prabhupada that, it's okay. I'm guiding the ship. Well, and every day he says he was rising at 3 a.m. So he says, today is the 34th day of our journey. As usual, I rise up at 3 a.m. and when I went to the veranda, I saw the sky almost clear. And then all the time he was engaged in reading Srimad Bhagavatam as well. He says he was reading the pastime of Kaliya, especially the prayers by Srimati Nagapatnis and the last appealing prayer by Kaliya. So deriving strength from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then after the 36 days, Jaladuta reached Boston Harbour. Oh, and after one more day, they went from Boston up to New York. And he contacted Gopal Agarwal in Butler, who had sponsored him to, because Gopal Agarwal's father was always telling his son, you have to, sponsor this and that person. And so his son Gopal did that, but nothing ever usually came of it. No one actually ever came from India. But this time it was arranged that Gopal's father asked him to sponsor Prabhupada, and so Gopal, who's in America, He, Gopal Agarwal, he filled out all the forms and Prabhupada actually came and had him stay in his home in Butler, Pennsylvania for several months, I think. So overall we see that, you know, it was a very difficult journey for Srila Prabhupada to go on the Jaladuta from Calcutta to Boston Harbour. You know, he had many times seasickness and dizziness and vomiting and a heart attack. And, you know, all these things, you know, that we would practically give up. You know, it's like, oh my God, this is too much. You know, seasickness and... but we see the transcendental faith that Srila Prabhupada had in the instructions of his spiritual master and in Krishna, and also the as he explained later, he had the direct, you know, shelter of Krishna, who was protecting that boat. So it's a very, you know, practically the most amazing. Amazing boat journey in the whole of history, that a pure devotee came to, you know, foreign lands to spread the science of Krishna consciousness. So I might just leave it there and see if there's any comments about, or comments or questions about what we talked about, the appreciations of Srila Prabhupada. I will do that later, but anyone like to say something? Yes.
Srila Prabhupada had two severe heart attacks and no medical facility at all. Mr. Pandya was very disturbed.
The captain. He couldn't give him any medical assistance. Yeah, not just one heart attack, but two. Quite inconceivable, like how he could have. Very deep faith. Can't be imitated. Later in the morning we'll have more program. 10 a.m. I think we'll be reading offerings and Pushpanjali, etc., kirtan. Always a nice kirtan on Prabhupada's appearance day. And it's a very nice feeling of family that we get on this day. We kind of... helps us to realize, actually, that we are actually all a family. And this is where, you know, Srila Prabhupada is our father. And, you know, it's nice to realize that, yeah, we should actually try to cooperate with each other. And as servants of Srila Prabhupada and in propagating his great mission, and, you know, put aside our, you know, small differences and cooperate and try to understand Prabhupada's instructions and execute them to the best of our ability. And we just have a very harmonious atmosphere amongst the devotees. You know, Prabhupada says that this ISKCON movement was started to have, you know, loving exchanges between the devotees of giving in charity, giving each other spiritual knowledge, perhaps, and accepting and honouring prasad together, and revealing our minds if we have some difficulties in our spiritual life, or and we can take shelter of more advanced devotees or friends. and in this way continue to strengthen our devotee community, and which is extremely important if we consider, you know, the materialistic way of that the world is, then it's just completely vital that we have a strong devotee community, so that people can take shelter of that community and be saved from a, you know, just a degraded life of, you know, sense gratification and, you know, unhappiness in that kind of way of living. So this is this starts by the devotees having good relations amongst themselves and having a central focus of pleasing Srila Prabhupada, and therefore that, and then that strength that we strength and nice relationships that we cultivate by having that mood of serving Prabhupada, then that allows us to emanate that energy and attract people. So that's the it's not how much philosophy we know. It's actually we're trying to attract people by the spiritual culture and spiritual atmosphere that comes from serving Srila Prabhupada. And then we can help more and more people by this in this way. So I'll leave it there, and we'll meet back again shortly. Grantrai Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Nitai Gaura Premanandini.